Through his roles as a Daily Show correspondent, deranged millionaire, the PC to Justin Wong's Mac, and his own best-selling books, the real John Hodgman has always remained hidden, a mystery wrapped beneath his signature dry, absurdist wit and a mustache or beard depending on the year. But now, for the first time, he turns to the truth, exposing his real-life roles as a father, husband, and yes, a hater of fudge. He's the first to admit that his path to success has been a strange one, and he's the best person to explain why. He does so in his new book, Vacation Land, True Stories from Painful Beaches. It follows his journeys as a very citified only child nerd navigating wilderness where he believes he does not belong. It is a great pleasure to welcome our good friend John Hodgman to the roundtable this morning. John, thank you very much for being with us.
It's my pleasure. How's everything there in Albany?
Doing fine, thank you. Very, very nice to have you on the program. We're cold, but other than that, it's fine.
I listen to you guys from Western Massachusetts. You are a strong and powerful radio station.
Well, thank you. We try our best. Let me ask you this question. What brought you to this topic of looking at, vacation land, looking at this another part of the Northeast, let's say?
Well, you know, my first book was called The Areas of My Expertise, and in that book I wrote a lot of fake facts and invented trivia and absurd false history. So instead of the 9 U.S. presidents who were addicted to cigars, for example, I would write a list of the 9 U.S. presidents who secretly had pirate hooks for hands. And then I would talk about how FDR, no one knew he had a hook for a hand because it was shaped like a wheelchair. These are the kind of jokes that put me on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, and I spent about, almost a decade in the persona of the resident expert telling absurd fake facts in the guise of this blowhard professorial lunatic named John Hodgman.
Right.
Which is actually not that far from who I am, but still a character, in case you were wondering. And after some time, as I got into my 40s, and then John handed the show over to Trevor Noah, I realized that I didn't have any more fake facts to tell. Frankly, everyone was doing fake facts now, making up alternate realities as part of our everyday political life. It felt like I needed to do something new. And that new was being truthful, honestly. I mean, being sincere and telling real stories about my real life, initially on stage, and then later on the page in this book called Vacation Land, which is in many ways the story of my spending time growing up out there in rural Western Massachusetts and more recently in the wilderness of the painful beaches of coastal Maine, Vacation Land itself, and my travels through the third wilderness, the metaphoric wilderness, the haunted forest of middle age that connects those two times in my life.
You consider middle age a wilderness?
Yeah, for sure. It's scary. you're on a path in your life when you're young where the path is very clear and you have a clear idea of where you are going. And maybe that path is easy. Maybe that path is very hard. Maybe it has twists and turns that you don't expect. But eventually there comes a point in every life where you realize you've reached the end of that path and you're not dead yet. You're not becoming something anymore, but you're ending up as something. And that's when the forest seems to close in around you and the path is very unclear and you have to kind of hack your way through it blindly, figuring out what you're going to do with the time that is left to you. And it's troubling for everyone.
So do you feel that you have hacked your way through? Are you done hacking or are you still in the process of hacking?
Well, I'm still alive, so the hacking continues. But the new reality is that I don't know what the path is forward, you know. I grew up in eastern Massachusetts in Brookline, just outside of Boston, an only child, which is to say a member of the super smart, afraid of conflict narcissist club. I had two parents who loved me and supported me because I had no siblings to beat up on me and tell me that I shouldn't dress like Doctor Who when I go to high school. I had a very strong sense of an illusory sense of my own specialness and confidence in my own weirdness. And there are times in life when you feel like you know where you're going, and then there are times when you realize you're lost. I think we all face a moment where we realize we're not that special. This is harder, I think, for white dudes to appreciate than others, because white dudes have been told they're special throughout their whole lives. In Western culture, white dudes are the hero of almost every story, and if you're a white dude, you believe you are a hero. It's hard for you to appreciate that not only is it possible that you're not the main character of creation, but in fact you may not even be the hero. You may be part of the villain. So those kinds of moments where life sort of lays its out plain, or as I say in the book, when the lies and stories you tell about yourself to yourself fall away, that's the moment that sparked this book, Vacation Land.
What do you think it is about you and about us, because I'll put myself in this category as well, that would never think of ourselves as part of that white dude club who have the world by the tail?
Well, look, you know, when you talk about white privilege, it doesn't mean that every one of us is wealthy and happy and satisfied and has everything easy. That's obviously not true. The privilege part of it is not seeing the quiet and visible advantages that are offered you because you've never suffered with the disadvantages of not being a white dude. I mean, that's all white privilege really means. And, you know, we tell ourselves a story, all of us. No matter what our background is or what we look like, that we are taking on this life and we are going to be the hero of this story. That is what fuels all of us in our teens and 20s. And if we're lucky, we accomplish stuff in the full faith of our own utter self-absorption and our own sense of specialness. What eventually emerges, except for a few lucky sociopaths, is a growing dawning that we're not special at all. None of us is. We are all part of this world, and we're all going to the same dreadful place at the end of it. And it all happens very quickly, and we need to be good to each other and get out of the way of the people who are coming up behind us who still have that sense of real purpose in life.
Do you look at this as two separate paths in the sense of what it is for you as a human being and you and your career as, yes, that character of John Hodgman, or as a comedian or as a writer or as a literary agent or whatever you were and whatever you are at any given time, do you look at those as the same or different?
Oh, well, you know, how do I put this? You know, I to some degree I'm defined by my work because I'm always been a writer, whether I'm writing magazine stories or the shortest form of short stories, which is jokes. You know, I'm always taking the world in and interpreting it and bouncing it off myself and telling you what I see. So in that sense, the professional trajectory of my life is entwined with who I understand myself to be. When I felt in this gut level that I had no fake facts to tell anymore, that didn't make sense to me to tell anymore, and also now that creating alternate realities is a part of our everyday political life, it just doesn't seem funny to me anymore. I was left in a moment of not knowing what to do next with myself. I mean, I played the deranged millionaire on the Daily Show, but that's not me. I have to make money, and the way I make money is writing things down. So that was in its own way a kind of crisis of like, what am I thinking about? What am I preoccupied with? What's going on in my own head? And it wasn't until I sort of stripped away fake facts and started getting on stage and just telling stories about my life that I began to understand, you know, where I am in this journey and what it means. Look, this is all very heavy, right? Vacation Land is a book. It started as a comedy show. This is mostly funny stories about me being afraid to take my garbage to the dump and about my terror in the state of Maine when I go up and visit there with my wife, that the native Mainers are going to sacrifice me to their strange god. It's mostly about my misadventures in worlds that make me uncomfortable, which is, as a city person and an only child and a nerd, is pretty much everywhere. But underneath it all is about the life transitions that we all go through, where when we feel like we know where we're going and we learn, oh, we're not who we thought we were. We're someone else now. Who am I?
And you've been able through the show, and this Vacation Land started as a show that, that your yeah. your work has become very intimate. It has become these explorations
oh, yeah.
on stage, and I assume that that helps in that process.
Intimate suggests maybe a level of nudity that I do not offer you guys. Although
hardly.
There is a story in the book about me sitting in a river in western Massachusetts with my shirt off. There are some adult themes and partial nudity, some light references to drug use, but for the most part, to the children who may be listening, the adult themes in my book are not the fun, sexy adult themes like hugging and kissing. They're mostly about fear of creeping irrelevancy and preoccupation with death, that kind of adult stuff. Sorry, what was the question?
Are you, well, I can't get by this. Are you still afraid of death?
Yes, of course I am. I think that there are very few people who, and I think they're very lucky, whose faith is so strong in an afterlife that they are not afraid of death. Death is the shadow that hangs over all of us. We all appreciate it in the abstract, but even once we have a real brush with it, whether you lose someone in your life or you come close to it yourself in another way, even if we're just sitting in a bookstore one day, like I was, and suddenly realized nothing lasts forever, not even John Hodgman, in a deep gut way, it's something that we put aside immediately. You know, we tell stories to avoid that terror. Some of those stories are major world religions. Some of those stories are personal stories about how we are going to create a legacy to pass on to our children. But at the end, you know, there is, unless you are of profound faith, a nothingness at the end of our existence that we all must not confront, because you can't fight it, but come to a certain peace with. Vacation Land is the nickname for the state of Maine. It's where my wife has family. It's where we've visited year over year because she loves it more than any other place or person on earth, including me. And I've always wondered why we go there, because Vacation Land as a nickname, it seems like a cruel joke. If you go to vacation in Maine expecting a nice beachside rest, you don't realize that the ocean in Maine is cold and made of hate and wants to kill you, and the beaches are made of rocks and knives and barnacles and want to hurt your feet. It's a painful place to go. But if you are of a mind, as I think many in New England are, that you don't deserve happiness to begin with, Maine is for you. And it offers you a true, awe-inspiring and rugged natural beauty that reminds you that nature doesn't care whether you live or die. Maine offers you not pleasure, but the kind of pleasure of enduring something hard and getting through it. And I think that's a metaphor, at least, for the kinds of hard transitions we all have to go through in life. And that's good, because if Maine is a metaphor, that means you don't actually have to go there. And that's good for me, too, because you won't come see me in Maine. Well, I don't want to see you there. I don't want you coming to see me in the most beautiful place on earth. Go away.
John Hodgman's book is Vacation Land, True Stories from Painful Beaches. A great pleasure to speak with you as always, sir. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. Absolutely. Take care.
Be well. Thank you. Again, the name of the book, Vacation Land, True Stories from Painful Beaches, published by Viking. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.